Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
There are some who may think that actually the United States encouraged Georgia to launch this reckless adventure with the amount of advisors and visits, and Secretary Rice was there just a few days ago, and the joint Georgian military maneuvers were finished just the 7th of August, hours before they launched their military operation. But as I said in the chamber, we don't want to believe that.
Our united purpose should be to persuade the Russian government to cease its attack, draw its troops, and enter into negotiations with Georgia. We must remind Russia's leaders
what a blue Monday after
that the benefits they enjoy from being part of the civilized world require their respect for the values, stability, and peace of the world.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work.
Beware the Ides of August. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Beware the Ides of August. It's when everybody's mind is on the Olympics. I didn't watch 1 minute of it. I don't know about you. I'm just not into sports to begin with. I don't understand it. I don't comprehend how people can get so absorbed while the war is going on and while Bush is giving away what's left of the store. And I warned you that President Bush was not through yet in dismantling this great republic. I warned you that what he would do in the last 3 months would dwarf what he's done in the first 7 years. And unfortunately, I am unfortunately turning out to be correct again. Not only did he grant $48 billion in AIDS money, which we don't have, to Africa, but over the weekend he agreed to lift the ban on HIV-infected individuals from around the world to come here into the United States, not only to come here, but for treatment. Free treatment? Is this guy crazy or what? What is going on here? How does he just act in this imperious manner? Now this war. We have to focus on this tragedy going on in Georgia. It is a tragedy for both sides. Allegedly, or according to the reports, thousands of civilians are dead. Now, I have to tell you something. I've read as many different reports as are out there, and I'm no expert on the area. And I don't pretend to be so, but on Friday, I told you it was all about oil. That was long before it came up that there's a major oil pipeline that's going to run through Georgia, that already runs through this piece of Georgia, Georgian territory. In 1998, I wrote an article called "The Oily Tracks Run Through Kosovo." I was right about why Clinton decimated Serbia and kicked the Serbians out of an area, really a region, a piece of their own nation that they've been in since the 1300s. It was again about oil. Don't ever forget that. You've got a huge, huge wealth of oil and natural gas in the Caspian Sea that is pumped into southern Europe through this region. Now, let me ask you something. What if Vladimir Putin came to America and started to give military advice and weapons and ammunition and tanks and airplanes and anti-aircraft missiles to a secessionist Texas or something to that effect? What do you think we would do? Say thank you? We are in Mr. Putin's neighborhood. Why in the world Bush is meddling is incomprehensible other than oil. I cannot believe that he's getting away with this. And as an American, it grieves me to have to say this. For Cheney to warn Putin is astonishing. Have these people learned nothing from Iraq and Afghanistan? Have they learned nothing from a war that will not end? that they began for questionable reasons on the pretext of weapons of mass destruction, which have still never been found. Now both it's not bad enough that Bush and Cheney warned Putin, but McCain comes along and warns Russians of severe long-term negative consequences. And the laugh to me is they say that if you want to be part of the civilized world, are these people living in a time warp? Are these people insane? Are they crazier and more dangerous than I believe? And McCain must be out of his mind altogether to make such a statement to Russia. Now, why did this happen? Is the West responsible for the war between Russia and Georgia? As you just heard, the Russian ambassador in an earlier interview on CNN stated clearly that Rice was there 2 days before the Georgians incurred into this area, this disputed region. The Russians didn't start the shooting war. It was the people in Georgia who had been armed to the teeth and trained by the Americans, meaning our country. Once again, I cannot tell you, this is unbelievable to me. But here's Russia's suspicion about the U.S. intentions in the Kremlin's old empire. Here is an argument between the United States and Russia that the United States did not need, especially at this time. Why did George Bush and the State Department help militarize the weak Georgian state over the last few years? Why did Saakashvili, the president of Georgia, do what he did? Why did the Pentagon, why was the Pentagon ordered to upgrade Georgia's forces? Why did the United States at senior levels rewrite Georgian military doctrine, train its commanders and staff officers? Why did the United States and Israel re-equip Georgian military forces with reconnaissance drones, communications and battlefield management equipment, and convoys of vehicles and stockpiles of ammunition? Why? Oh, why? Oh, why? What did you expect the Russian bear to do? What would the United States do if a foreign power, let us say Russia or China, started to meddle in our hemisphere? Let us say not Cuba, but we're talking about a former portion of the Soviet Union, for God's sakes. It would be as though the United States broke up and a foreign power came to Texas and said, okay, we're going to militarize Texas now, give them anti-aircraft, and make them much more militarily viable. What do you think the United States would do in that position? Has this administration learned nothing from Iraq? Has this administration learned nothing from meddling in foreign affairs that really isn't our business? Or, and here's the horrible question, this is the painful question today on the Savage Nation, is this administration simply a front group for the oil powers, as so many have claimed for so many years? Is this really simply an administration that thinks only of the bottom line, not about the long-term interests of the United States, nor of the sovereignty of the United States? You know, you have to ask yourself that question. The border with Mexico is wide open. We're being overrun by contraband. We're being overrun by millions of illegal aliens. And we send troops to Georgia to give them more power to fight Russia. And then we lecture Russia and say, oh, no, you want to be part of the civilized world. Why didn't you settle this in a civil manner? This is why we're still in Iraq and Afghanistan? Ladies and gentlemen, this is very difficult for me to say. I am an American. I love this country. But something is wrong with this picture. I do not believe it was or is in the national interest of the United States of America to have meddled in affairs in this region of the world in this way. What did you expect Russia to do? What would you expect any sovereign superpower to do? How can you restrain the Kremlin at this point? How in the world can the United States, whose image and authority in the region is in question, sit and lecture the Soviet Union, meaning Russia? I still say the Soviet Union because that's what the way they see it now. But the fact of the matter is, this is a terrible, terrible story. And the puppet president of Georgia, Saakashvili, is a man who is simply a puppet. He is a puppet of the powers in the United States of America. Is McCain wrong to have warned Russia? What do you think of this situation? Have you thought about it, or has your mind been only on boxing and whatever else they've been showing you? I couldn't watch any of it. I said, what's wrong with this country? How could we be looking at this trivia when this is like, could evolve into World War III? You know, when you study August 1917, it's interesting to me that if you look at the, even as an amateur, if you look at the beginnings of World War I, in August, the summer doldrums of 1917, it didn't start with a bang. The war, World War I, which cost, I don't know, 20, 30 million lives. How many lives? I don't know. Hundreds of thousands of men died in one in single battles in the most horrendous trench warfare imaginable, butchered for no reason. World War I began with a whimper, not with a bang. One country made a mistake. Then the next country had to counter that mistake. Then the next country had to counter that mistake's mistake. Then another country had to counter the mistake's mistake. And so forth and so on. And the flower of the West was destroyed. Some would say England and France never recovered from World War I. Some would say England and France and Germany never recovered from World War I. Some would say that the West never recovered from World War I. Some would say that the white male committed suicide in World War I. I'll be right back.
Savage.
In my private view, I don't believe that United States directly encouraged President Saakashvili to attack and massacre people. But helping Saakashvili, which, let's be frank, it's a satellite. He's an American satellite. That's a known fact. But encouraging him and providing some weapons and military instructions, maybe that gave Saakashvili a wrong impression that whatever he does will be swallowed by world community and United States in particular.
Now, remember what happened when Kennedy was president. Many of you do remember what happened. We almost had a thermonuclear war, and Kennedy had to back Khrushchev down, whoever blinked first, and Khrushchev removed the nuclear-tipped missiles from Cuba. That's because we did not want a foreign power putting nuclear-tipped missiles 80 miles from our territory. Now, I'm not saying that the United States put nuclear-tipped missiles in Georgia, but it's well known that we sent military advisors, weapons, tanks, armored personnel carriers. Israel sent drones to Georgia. This is insanity. Have we learned nothing from the debacle in Iraq? Have we learned nothing about the fact that our currency is in a crisis because of these wars, which are extremely expensive? Where is the money coming from? Why is Bush meddling? Why are they provoking Russia? Where is our Congress? Where are these stupid men and women in Congress? Where are these people? Barbara Boxer, a senator? She wouldn't know Georgia from her brassiere. Portland, Oregon. Chuck, you're on the Savage Nation. Chuck, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. Okay. Next case. Here we go. We're starting off on a roll already. Brian, Monterey, California, next on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, thanks for reporting the real issues. I just wanted to draw a possible correlation between what the United States, Britain, and France are gearing up for, a naval blockade against Iran. And there's talk that possibly Russia and China might be opposed to this. And I just want to think that, jumping to a conclusion, maybe this whole debacle in Georgia is just like a side twist in this global chess game that, you know, Bush and...
All right, you raise a very good point. Three major U.S. naval strike forces due this week in Persian Gulf. I have it up on michaelsavage.com. We now have five U.S. strike forces in Middle East waters, which is an unprecedented buildup since the crisis erupted over Iran's nuclear program. Yes, Russia said we don't want you doing that to Iran. In other words, Russia has been siding with Iran. So what you're saying is because of that, we're now siding with Georgia?
Could be. I mean, you know, China's up, you know, China's distracted with the Olympics. If we can keep Russia, you know, distracted while we build up a force that they can't compete with in the Gulf.
All right. Well, all right. You got me there. You're a better chess player than I am. So it's good to see civilians dying in Georgia. They're pawns in the chess game, in other words.
I guess so.
No, I'm not saying, you know, and I'm being sarcastic. I don't think you mean that. But that's basically how international politics are played. People mean nothing. But why do we suddenly have five U.S. strike forces in Middle East waters? Five. Three new coming in, two are there, five flotillas. Numerous aircraft carriers, numerous FA-18A Hornets. It seems to me we're getting ready with Israel to pounce on Iran, and it's long overdue. It should have been done a year ago. This all could have been avoided had this been done 1 year ago. When this started, when the maniac in Iran started this. I warned you that if the maniac in Iran wasn't stopped, I said it a year ago, millions of people would die. I said this to you. So I hear how the geniuses are playing their chess game, the geniuses in the military-industrial complex, who, of course, waited another year in order to justify larger defense budgets. After all, there's a lot of money to be made. You know, war profiteering is an old story. In many countries, going back to Roman times, after all, there were people who supplied the Roman legions with cornmeal. Actually, it wasn't cornmeal, but let us say with foodstuffs. And sometimes they provided foodstuffs that were adulterated or weighed different amounts than the Roman government was charged. And when they were caught, they were executed. When our contractors are caught, they're hired by the State Department. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Is John Edwards still lying? Ha! Is John Edwards still lying? Does your toaster toast bread? Does John Edwards lie? Does your toaster make bread toasty? No, he's not lying. He's an honest tort lawyer. He's an honest class action lawyer. He's an honest breaker and destroyer of hospitals and doctors. John Edwards, the biggest fraud in the history of American politics. He has to be up there in the top five. This man has made my flesh crawl. I understand politics means parsing the truth. But John Edwards, in my opinion, doesn't know what the truth is or where it lies. That's how he destroyed hospitals and doctors across the Southeast year after year, year in and year out.
Savage.
I express my grave concern about the disproportionate response of Russia, and that we strongly condemn bombing outside of South Ossetia. It was just interesting to me that here we are, trying to promote peace and harmony, and we're witnessing a conflict take place.
Disproportionate response? You mean it was proportionate to kill Saddam Hussein, his two sons, and several hundred thousand Iraqis? You got to kill for peace? This is insanity. How could this man say this and not be challenged by people? What kind of media do we have? Lapdogs. In order to get the interviews, you have to be a lapdog. If you want to be a truthful person in the media, you have to be willing to be an outcast. You want to be an outcast, or do you want to be someone who's disproportionately owned? This is amazing to me. I mean, there's too much at stake here. The whole object of a free media, and it doesn't matter whether you agree with me or disagree with me most of the time, the whole object of freedom of the press is that we in the media, and I'm not in the press, I'm a commentator, not a journalist, proud to tell you that. If only the journalists would tell you that they're also commentators, not journalists, we'd be better off. But without us saying to the politicians, hey, you're over the line here, or we don't believe you, or that's crazy, then we're living in tyranny, and they'll do whatever they want to us, which they're doing anyway because we've lost the media. We lost the media a long time ago. Why do you think there are so few independent voices left in the American media? Why do you think it's impossible to get an interview with a politician if they're afraid you'll ask them a real question? Why do you think they'll only go on stooge programs where tough questions will not be asked? And I'll tell you the truth. I mean, I'd like to be able to vote for McCain. But I'll tell you, for him to warn Russia means that he is simply a stooge of the Republican establishment. Appears before cameras. He offers a lengthy primer on the crisis in the Caucasus. And then he says we should halt the violence and attack Russia. And this is unbelievable. Bush criticizes Russia. Cheney ratchets up the criticism. And then, of course, the little men, the Lilliputians, like Bill Kristol. The Lilliputians like Bill Kristol, who are nothing but, typists for the Bush administration, go to the op-ed pages to urge more action against Russia. Attack Russia now.
Yeah. Go to war with Russia, says the other neocon. Yeah, says Bill Kristol.
These people would be laughable if they weren't dangerous. After a brief period of independence following the Russian Revolution, the Red Army forced Georgia to join the Soviet Union in 1922. Yes, it was originally an independent nation. What happened is in 1991, the Soviet Union fell apart. Georgia regained its independence. But now we are facing something beyond independence, which is war. As I say, it's a tragedy for all concerned when people die, particularly civilians, where one day they're walking to the market or to the daycare center, and the next day they're sitting in rubble with their daughter's skull broken open from a shell fragment. It leads me to believe that this could happen here. It's crazy, the whole thing. There are very dangerous overtones to all of this, and don't think it's simply going to end because you wish it to go away. It's not one click away. You can't just simply click the war in the Caucasus away because you don't like it. There are other stories, okay? Michael Savage vows to take care, fight the Supreme Court. These are from my website. I'm going to read you all of the other headlines. Three major U.S. naval strike forces sailing out due this week in the Persian Gulf, making them five. Is John Edwards still lying? Ross pronounces Fox reporter's name. Georgian army flees in disarray as Russians advance. 20 audio clips of Savage's actual comments on autism. Foreign funds buying foreclosed U.S. properties. New land grab starting in America. Foreign money, foreign sovereign funds are scooping up tens of thousands of discounted foreclosed homes across the country. Next story, black mob beats hero, white Marines rescuing girl being beaten by a black wolf pack. Wolf pack of at least 30 thugs viciously attacked two hero ex-Marines in Brooklyn after they rescued a teenage girl who was being assaulted, and they screamed, white boys, you don't belong here. They came back from Iraq. They heard a girl screaming. They went to her aid, and they got beaten by a mob. U.S. acts to open borders to foreigners with HIV. CNN avoids mentioning Islam in segment on honor killings. Well, that's because their girl in Havana, Christiane Amanpour, which is, of course, their girl in Havana, she's their plant. She's their Mata Hari, in my opinion. The Islamist Mata Hari is Amanpour. Here's another one for those of you who like to sail and think Guatemala is a nice, peaceful place. U.S. tourist hacked to death in Guatemala. Robbers armed with machetes hacked a U.S. tourist to death and seriously wounded his wife in an attack aboard the couple's sailboat in northeastern Guatemala. And by the way, the Guatemalan attackers swam out to the sailboat. Swam out. If you're thinking of going Guatemala, you're not going to paradise anymore. Mistress was New York City party girl before she went bed was with Edwards. Smuggled American guns fuel deadly Mexican drug wars. Foreign drug dealers convert American fields in Washington state to pot production. Across Washington, farmers are buying vineyards, but authorities believe some buyers live in Mexico and their vineyards are producing thousands of illegal marijuana plants. Going down the list, Koppel documentary paints phony rosy picture of China. What do you expect from Ted Koppel, the disgraced former talker from ABC News? You expect anything else? And finally, on the bottom left, labor leaders funnel big money to family while members make $9 an hour. Read that story from the LA Times. Hundreds of thousands of dollars being funneled to firms owned by the wife and mother-in-law of the labor organization's president, who represents workers who make $9 an hour. Isn't America great? The streets are paved with the olds. Okay, New York City, WOR, country, Boris, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. Quick point. I'm Russian, but I'm also American, and I love this country with all my heart. I mean, this is my home. It gave me and my family not just the financial freedom. I've been living here for 15 years, but also the sense of home, and that's the most important. Now, over the last 15 years, I have been always, always critical, very critical and skeptical about everything what's going on in Russia. But this is one of the cases when I'm going to say, leave the Russia alone. It's doing exactly what every sovereign nation would have to do, okay? And I don't understand, what does it mean, disproportional force? I think if Israel would use disproportional force, we wouldn't have the problem with Hezbollah right now. Or if America would use disproportional...
Yeah, I agree with you. As a matter of fact, I can guarantee you that the Russian troops don't have to consult a guidebook which tells them that if they do their job, they'll go to jail and get a court-martial. In fact, if our forces act the way the Russian forces are able to act, we would have been out of Iraq 3 years ago. But that's why they tell them to go slow, to make sure we're not out of Iraq. You know that.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know what? It's probably, it's not a good thing to say, but I hope you understand. I wish that our president would have 15% or 10% what Russian president has, Vladimir Putin. Just his power. Just to say, you know what? It's my country. I got to do what I got to do. And that's the end of story.
Well, he already has whatever power he needs. He gave $48 billion in aid to Africa for AIDS without a popular vote. Where'd the money come from? By the stroke of a pen, he said, now we're going to add a little rider onto that bill and let people with HIV into the country. Again, he did it without a popular vote. He has 100% of the power right now. There's no Congress to oppose this man. He seems to be out of control. He's like King Ludwig II of Bavaria.
Unbelievable. It's unbelievable. You know what? To understand the whole depth of the problem, I think people who came here, who immigrated recently, have much, much more appreciation what this country can offer. This unbelievable country.
Absolutely. I know emigres, not only from the ex-Soviet Union, but from the whole Eastern Bloc, let's put it to you that way, which is part of the Soviet Union, of course, they all come when I run into them in the street and tell me they're terrified that this country is becoming more and more like the Soviet Union that they fled 20 years ago.
It's horrible. It's absolutely. Michael, I just want to let you make one last point, okay? I pray every single day for you, okay? You are the absolute man. You are the only man, the only voice I can hear and listen, okay? And my children as well, okay? So thank you so much. And listen, by the way, we will love you. There is a big Russian community. We all love you. You have our full support, okay? Thank you.
Well, I will come and have vodka with you one day. I can guarantee it. Thank you very much. I know I do have a big, big listenership in various parts of the country. And some of the big listenerships are in big cities. Of course, it's also dispersed throughout the country. But let's put aside me and my particular thing and my little place in the world here. I'm stunned when I watch the reports on television about this as though we're watching children. You know, when I watched the Russian ambassador to the UN this morning, Vitaly Churkin, on the U.S.'s role, I was cheering. I said, oh, my God, a literate man, an educated, literate man who speaks literate English, probably as a fourth language. I said, I'd give almost anything to have a literate president instead of these hackneyed fools. And I include Obama in the hackneyed fool category, who speak in sound bites with nothing, no intelligence. I don't understand how a nation with so many universities and so many educated people could have such morons and illiterate dopes in the political arena. But then I guess I have to blame the media. Again, everything is a naked girl or a flash. They go from the problem in Georgia to a girl flashing a lipstick or a dress on Fox. That's the style that the Australian came up with. Confuse them. Go from this to that, then go to the Olympics and expect the people to be stupider than they were the day before. Make them stupider by the second. I warn you. And there's nothing we can do about it. What's the point of talking about it? We little people have as much power over this as we have over our own border, which is nil. We have power over nothing. We're lucky we have power over our own sovereignty, let alone the sovereignty of our nation. Thank God the Supreme Court gave us the power of the Second Amendment, probably for a short period of time. Thank God we still have the First Amendment, or I wouldn't be on the radio. As long as I still have the First Amendment until Nancy Pelosi and her mob decide to take away the First Amendment for selected individuals in the media, that is those of us in talk radio, who she disagrees with. I don't understand how you people don't know the danger we're in. But my job is to tell you the danger we're in and also tell you the wonderful country we're in and pray to God that the Constitution continues to protect our freedoms despite these little men and women who have seized so much power from us. Sacramento, California, Rob, you're on the other side of the aisle. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Say your piece, please.
Dr. Savage, I'm a huge supporter also. Hey, I see it differently, and you might be able to correct me. I kind of see this as a parallel as to whether, like, if Mexico invaded Texas, trying to take Texas back for all the Mexicans that live in Texas. And as far as I'm concerned, Russia is a different country from the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union is over with, and whatever was the Soviet Union is broken back up again. And
But there's a little difference. It's not just about Mexicans. Let's put aside the ethnic differential and even the linguistic differential, which is vast, of course, because Georgia, until 1922, was a separate nation until it was put into the power grab of the Soviet Union created by Stalin. I understand all of that. It was a separate nation, just as Armenia was a separate nation. These are all individual nations with languages and currencies and history and geography that separated it from Russia. Okay, I understand all of that. However, you've got another problem here. Why did George Bush send weapons and military training to Georgia? Wouldn't you think that would provoke Russia? You know that Russia allegedly lost a number of airplanes because of the equipment sent by Israel and the U.S.? They were able to shoot down Russian aircraft. That's pretty worrisome to me. Let's put it another way. What if a foreign power, what if China sent anti-aircraft missiles to northern Mexico? And these anti-aircraft missiles were pointed to the sky to prevent our jets, let's say, from flying over Mexico. How do you think we would react to that?
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? And again, I want to take another. I'm not trying to be Solomon here. I could never be Solomon. I'm Michael. I can't really take sides here because I don't know the area well enough to take sides. I'm just disgusted with our leadership for provoking another unnecessary round of deaths. That's what it means to me. It was our leaders bungling this again. Have they learned nothing from meddling in the Middle East? Now they have to meddle in the Caucasus? With so few months left of this administration, they now meddle and provoke Russia? And we take Russia, which was already moving away from us, and now kick them in the behind and say, why aren't you our friend? Who in the heck is advising this Bush administration? It can't be Condoleezza Rice. She's not smart enough for that job. She is merely a messenger. But you heard that she was there during war games last week in Georgia. You heard that she was watching troop movements last week and left 2 days before the incursion into this disputed region, which triggered this round of killing and death and murder and whatever. Who is advising Condoleezza Rice? Who in the State Department is making these decisions? I think I know. They're the same people who were in the Clinton State Department. The same troublesome people who were in the Clinton administration and the State Department are still there. My friends, you don't understand something. It does not matter who takes over the head of the government, meaning who becomes the putative queen or king of America. What matters is these people, these functionaries at the higher levels of these bureaucracies. Just look at the Treasury Department. Henry Paulson, former head of Goldman Sachs. Now, why is he there? Why was the last Treasury Secretary from Goldman Sachs? Why was the Treasury Secretary before him from Goldman Sachs? Is America still America, or is it a division of Goldman Sachs? And what's good for an investment bank is good for America? I don't think so. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Deeply concerned by reports that Russian troops have moved beyond the zone of conflict, attacked the Georgian town of Goree, and are threatening the Georgia's capital of Tbilisi. There's evidence that Russian forces may soon begin bombing the civilian airport in the capital city. These reports are accurate. These Russian actions would represent a dramatic and brutal escalation of the conflict in Georgia.
Escalation. Nuclear. Escalation, a dangerous escalation. I I'm flabbergasted. You know, the one, I can't say benefit. I can't say one good thing. I just, I'll put it another way. It's been a relief to listen to intelligent men speaking on the media instead of these hackneyed candidates of ours speaking in sound bites that can put a man with a reasonable education in despair. To listen to Obama speak in postcard phrases. To listen to McCain speaking in postcard phrases. And then to listen to the Russian ambassador. Play clip one again for a moment. Just play 01 for a minute.
There are some who may think that actually the United States encouraged Georgia to launch this reckless adventure with the amount of advisors and visits. And Secretary Rice was there just a few days ago. And the joint Georgian military maneuvers were finished just the 7th of August, hours before they launched their military operation. But as I said in the chamber, we don't want to believe that.
We don't want to believe that. You know how complex that statement was and how clear it was at the same time? Irony. There's 15 different elements in there, and we have politicians who speak in one illiterate element. I say, well, why are you sitting criticizing the style? Because I can't take either the substance or the style. And since I have no power over either, I may as well criticize what I want. Now, for Cheney to come out and say that this will not go unanswered, this is even crazier. What does he mean by that? What do you mean this won't go unanswered? What, war with Russia now? Why don't you bomb Moscow and bomb Beijing? You got a few more months. Go ahead. Go to war now with Russia and China before you leave. Because you can always send contractors in to clean up the mess. Hey, $16 a meal for each soldier. God knows what the laundry must cost, the billing to the taxpayer. If the soldier goes back for a second helping, it's another $16 per tray. Never before has a war been fought like this. I'm reminded of Napoleon retreating from Moscow. He went in with 600,000 Frenchmen. He came out with 20,000. 600,000, he came out with 20,000. The flower of France was dead.
Now, Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I express my grave concern about the disproportionate response of Russia, and that we strongly condemn bombing outside of South Ossetia. It was just interesting to me that here we are, trying to promote peace and harmony, and we're witnessing a conflict take place.
Our united purpose should be to persuade the Russian government to cease its attack, draw its troops, and enter into negotiations with Georgia. We must remind Russia's leaders that the benefits they enjoy from being part of the civilized world require their respect for the values, stability, and peace of the world.
There are some who may think that actually the United States encouraged Georgia to launch this reckless adventure with the amount of advisors and visits, and Secretary Rice was there just a few days ago. And the joint Georgian military maneuvers were finished just the 7th of August, hours before they launched their military operation. But as I said in the chamber, we don't want to believe that.
Georgia, Georgia, the whole day through, just an old sweet song.
keeps Georgia on my mind. Georgia.
It is the Savage Nation. Oil and prestige fuel the new Cold War. Russia's irritation with Georgia dates to November 2003, when pro-democracy protesters took to the streets in the so-called Rose Revolution to denounce an election rigged by pro-Moscow politicians. The result was a new election and victory for American-educated Georgian President Mikhail Saakashvili, who dropped Georgia's alliance with Moscow in return for one with Washington. Another Russian neighbor, Ukraine, followed suit in circumstances similar to its Orange Revolution the following year. In April, Putin, furious that the West had recognized Kosovo's breakaway from Serbia, signed a decree recognizing both Abkhazia and South Ossetia. For the Georgians, it was a red rag to a bull. This is a new Cold War, ladies and gentlemen. It's amazing that this struggle is flaring to life in the new Caucasus, because this is really a battle not for ideology but for oil. The Baku-Tbilisi-Ceyhan pipeline, known as BTC in the industry, is a miracle of modern engineering. It cost £2 billion to build. It will eventually carry 1 million barrels of oil a day across more than 1,000 miles of some of the world's most inhospitable terrain. It is the only pipeline which links Central Asia's vast oil and gas fields, by the way, second only to the Middle East in size, to the West. All other pipelines pass through Russia or Iran, which puts Western customers at the mercy of their regimes. For the United States, the key to the pipeline has been cementing firm relationships with these three states, Turkey, Georgia, and Azerbaijan, through which the pipeline passes. That came from the Scotland in Edinburgh. U.S. warns Russia to end Georgia onslaught over fears Moscow will seize crucial oil pipelines. That came from the Daily Mail. Moscow intends to seize the whole country to gain control of its crucial oil pipelines. No blood for oil. I guess that doesn't apply to Russia. No blood for oil. I do not see the commies in America screaming no blood for oil now. They're surprisingly silent. All of the shameless leftists in America have nothing to say, strangely enough, about this bloodshed, just as they were silent while Bill Clinton bombed Serbia, killing over 2,500 innocent civilians and destroying every bridge over the Danube River. Oil and prestige fuel the new Cold War. Is the West responsible for the war between Russia and Georgia? Is this a war that was waiting to erupt? Where will it end? 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. We kick off this hour on the program with the really only important story to talk about. There's nothing else to talk about. If you think I'm going to talk about the Olympics, you've got another guest coming. If you think I'm going to talk about John Edwards and his affair, I could care less. What do you expect from John Edwards, an ambulance chaser? And by the way, one comment on that, which I made on Friday when I came in and did the show. I was supposed to take that day off and today off, which I didn't do because I am just working on my book. I'm rushing to finish my autobiography, all of my radio stories. I've got to get it to the printer the next 2 weeks. Lead time, lead time, lead time, lead time. Everything is lead time in this world. And this one is going to be my most important book because it's all of my radio stories from childhood through now. Anyway, so I thought I'd take the days off instead of working 18 to 20 hours a day, but I'm not complaining. I'm glad I have the work. I'm glad God gave me this. Don't complain, Michael, because one day above is better than 20 leagues beneath the sea, you know? This is all part of it. This is it. It's the way it works. When it rains, it pours. Whatever your mother told you was true. Anyway, so the long and short of it is, what else is there to talk about? Nothing. The first thing when I analyze this, I'm talking one man. I'm not an expert on the Caucasus, but I know enough about things to come up with a reasonable discussion of the subject. Let me tell you. Okay, I'm not working for CNN where they needed someone's earpiece and someone talking into their earpiece. They don't know what they're talking about. I look at these poor guys. They're not unintelligent men. And I see they're bumbling. The guy in the back room with the big glasses and the curly hair is telling him what to say. And they go, So when I first analyzed this, the first day that this happened, like Friday, Saturday, and listened to it all, I said, Bush did this. He bungled it again. He's learned nothing from Iraq, Bush and Cheney. They've learned nothing from Iraq, nothing. Even if Russia is 100% wrong, we have no business being there. How do you like that? How do you like that statement? We have no business being there. It's not in our backyard. It's in their backyard. Now, it's one thing to say, well, it's in our national interest to make sure Russia doesn't control all of the gas, all of the pipelines coming out of the Caucasus. I understand that. But what? At what point do you say we cannot manage this? Go to war now with Russia over a pipeline? Why don't we just open up Anwar by executive order? Why don't we just drill by executive order and let Barbara Boxer take a flight on her umbrella? Just drill. Forget Nancy Pelosi and Boxer. They're nothing but fluff in the wind. They'll be forgotten in history. You want to drill? Then forget the pipeline, drill. And put $20 billion into hydrogen. Using hydrogen and solar power. Put $20 billion into that instead of $48 billion into AIDS in Africa. Put $48 billion into alternate energy better. You'll get more return on your money than you will feeding the warlords and the drug companies. That's my opinion. What's your opinion? Vero Beach. Wayne, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, how you doing, Michael? Long time no talk to. Michael.
Yes, next case. I'm sorry, I don't have it. I know the man is a devotee. I can't do it. That's a rule. Look, we'll start again with the rules. Here's how the show works. When I say your name in the city, please never ask me how I am. You don't know me. This is not Breaker One on a truck. We're not communicating. We're conducting a radio program that is listened to around the world. So please, when you are up, make your statement as though it matters. This is your moment. People are waiting to hear your opinion. I know you love me, but please, let's keep your love out of the show. We'll now try New York City. Joe, welcome to the Savage Nation on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael. The problem is Bush and his father want a new world order, a one-world government. That's why Bush is trying to devaluate the dollar. He gives away everything. He gives away as much as he can so our dollar will be worth the Mexican pesos. He's trying to hook
us up. Well, I don't think it's quite that simplistic in the sense that the dollar rose last week to its the highest rise in 8 years. I don't think that that's exactly what he wants, is to bankrupt America. I think that he does want to create a new world order and a one world government. There is no question about it. He wants the U.S. to be at the head of this government, meaning Goldman Sachs should run the world. Thank you for the call. I have nothing against Goldman Sachs. I just don't have much faith in investment bankers. They're about as trustworthy as a class action lawyer in terms of caring about anyone's nation. So let's go to the callers around the country now and see what you have to say. 1-800-449-8255. This is an important topic. This is the most important topic that we've covered in a very long time. It's far more important than the election. Because as you can see by the election, Obama's silent and McCain is a Bush 3. That's all. I'm not sure that Bush 3 is worse than Marx 2. I mean, it's either you want Bush 3 or Marx 2. I mean, take your choice. Or shall I say Bush 3 or Lenin 2? Either way, it's got to, you know, it's got to be Bush 3 rather than Lenin 2. But on the other hand, I mean, we deserve better than McCain. Where'd they get this guy from? Again, a hackneyed speech. Lecturing Russia now. U.S. military surprised by speed and timing. Georgia overrun by Russian troops, says the Drudge Report. McCain condemnation upstages White House. Well, Bush was busy with the Olympics. I mean, after all, he used to own the Texas Rangers. He has his priorities straight. He was enjoying himself. All the swimmers and the fun and the parties, the Chinese food. Well, thank God he hasn't had the same reaction to Asian food that his father did. That's the one positive note of his Asia trip. Thank God for that. Didn't have the same reaction. Guess he likes that food over there, unless they brought his own in a container. You know, there he could have flown in a barbecue pit and barbecued for him. Probably a lot safer, by the way. If I could manage it, I'd fly a separate plane just with my kitchen utensils the way Napoleon traveled. Don't want to eat that local food or drink the local water. I don't blame him for that at all. I mean, if you're going to go to China, you may as well not eat any of the food there. Take your life in your hands. Better off bringing in a barbecue pit and a couple of cows and, you know, live cows in the airplane and slaughter them right on the ground and have a good old Texas barbecue with nice ribs and bring in the potatoes. Bring in the Coca-Cola to drink over there. You don't want to touch that local food. Houston, Texas, I'll be right back on the Savage Nation. Savage.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night,
idea why I called for the Beatles. I just felt I needed to just play the Beatles for a minute. I actually asked them to find a song called Fixing the Roof, But the Rain Comes In. I don't know why I thought of that, but I just thought that would work. But this was close. A Hard Day's Night. It has been a hard day's night, let me tell you. If you are concerned with life and liberty, it's a hard day's night every night. Everyone I know with a brain is worried. You know, this thing is, what the heck, it's not my problem. Who cares what's going on over there? You could take that approach, you know. What else can you do? In a way, there's wisdom to that, too, to go on with your life and tend your own garden. I understand all of that. That's why the average person is blasé. They can't do anything about it. But from my point of view, even since I've been a young man, I've always been concerned with affairs of the world, affairs of the city, affairs of the state. And why, I don't know. I felt that, well, going back to when I read Aristotle, I realized the average man has to be concerned with the affairs of the city and the state. He has to be, or else you're living in a void. You may as well be an animal. You may as well be a dog or a cat if you don't give a hoot about any of this. Your dog doesn't know what's going on. Sure, it's just, look at the dog. That's why you love a dog. But you're not a dog. You're a man. It's what separates you from a dog is to care about these things. It doesn't matter that you have no power. Don't you understand that? It matters not that you have no influence over world leaders or world affairs. What matters is that you understand what's going on. That empowers you as a human being. That's what gives you dignity as a man, is to care about these things instead of what schmuck won what gold Olympic medal. What putt swam more than the other schmuck. Pardon me. You care about? I don't understand this. 15% of the world watch the Olympics. What are the Olympics for? To sell ads. So NBC can sell advertising space. It's like a Hallmark greeting card. Holidays were created for the greeting card companies. The Olympics were created for television networks. Who ever heard of Olympics every few years? Okay, there seems to be no end to the desire for pornography in sports. To me, they're one and the same. Half-naked bodies. In fact, if you go back to the origin of sports, you'll see I'm 100% accurate. It was fundamentally fat, decadent old men and women sitting in the stands watching naked or half-naked men and women performing acts of sportsmanlike acts so they could look at their lithe bodies. You think things have changed? Where'd girls' volleyball come from? That's a sport? No, it's to watch girls in good shape hitting a volleyball over a net and to put ads around it. It has nothing to do with anything else. And so forth and so on. That's why I can't pay much attention to it. I'm not interested in it. But anyway, that's irrelevant. What's relevant is what's going on in the Caucasus. Caucasus, Caucasian. Caucasian, Caucasus. Caucasian, Caucasian, Caucasian. Caucasus, Caucasus, Caucasian. Cauc. Here we go again. First, it was the Balkans, World War I. The assassination of Archduke Ferdinand triggers World War I. The incursion into South Ossetia, whatever the pronunciation, pardon me. Now you're an expert because you heard it on CNN. Well, I'm not. Ossetia, I do not know. The little nub. By the way, look at the geography of it, which I've done in the World Atlas. It's very interesting. There's a little nub that sticks out like a nub. It looks like a connection to an oil pipeline to me. It's almost like a land connection to the oil pipeline. That's what it's all about. We know that. It's all about oil. Now, oil is very important, but we have an awful lot of it ourselves, which we're not exploiting, such as the oil that was just discovered in Alaska, the oil that's offshore. There's so much oil that is not being exploited because of the whack job leftists in this country that we need an executive order not to send $48 billion to Africa for AIDS, but to send $48 billion to start immediately building oil platforms off the coast of California in the Gulf of Mexico and drilling in Anwar and telling environmentalists to take a hike if they don't like it. Wallace in Houston, Texas, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I am one of those who believes that Putin will do everything he can to ultimately put back together the Soviet Union. And
I happen to agree with you. That's what he is doing. Remember, he's the former head of the KGB, and he won't be happy until he cobbles the Soviet Union back together again. So your argument is we should stop him from that.
Well, he catches us where we're all strung out. We are financially insolvent. We don't have a military that can function.
Hold on. You're a great caller, and I want to hear your wisdom right here on the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage. Georgia.
Georgia, the whole day through, just an old sweet song.
All right, look, the hypocrisy is so phenomenal on all sides here. Here we have the United States. George Bush claims that he wants to build democracy around the world. And here he is backing a secessionist movement inside Georgia, which is really inside the belly of the old Soviet Union. Now, I'm not a fan of the ex-USSR. I understand about the Gulag. I know there were no human rights. Don't get me wrong about that. And I also understand the strategic importance of having an oil pipeline or at least one of them not being controlled by the Soviet Union or Russia, if you want to put it that way. It's a reemerging Soviet Union. But here we are, in essence, supporting a secessionist government. That's what we're doing here. It's a puppet state of the West. And to add insult to injury, the West, we're making moves to bring Georgia into NATO. What would you expect Russia to do? It's irrespective of whether you agree with Putin or not. That has nothing to do with whether you agree with him or not. Whether you agree or not is irrelevant. What's relevant is, what must he do to protect the sovereignty of his nation and to protect the future of his people? That's how he sees it. This is a disaster, a disaster all around. Sure, Georgia is a reformist pro-U.S. government. And sure, the president who was trained in America is a Western guy. But boy, did he make a mistake. What a bizarre strategic mistake for Georgia's president to make. What a bizarre and strategic error to escalate the conflict and announce that Georgian troops controlled most of South Ossetia. This is unbelievable. What would you expect Russia to do? Who in the Georgian government, or was it Condoleezza Rice, Zeroni, saying, move quickly, the world is focusing on the Olympics. You'll get away with it. There'll be no Russian response. Who advised them to do this? Who in America make the? Who in the State Department did this? They're a war criminal. Now, I don't want to go into Russian citizens and no citizens and airspace. It's irrelevant. These are skirmishes right now that have escalated into air campaigns, tanks. You take a look at the Russian paratroopers on the ground. It's enough to make you think twice about what's going on with our military. It's unbelievable. Take a look at the Russian paratroopers. I can guarantee you, as I see it, they don't have a guidebook on what they can do when they're on the ground. They're not going to take a Colonel Chesani somewhere in a command center 200 miles away and put him on a court-martial if somebody accidentally blows up a building in doing the job that they were sent to do. This I can guarantee you. They don't have George Bush's rules of engagement. Now let's go back to Wallace in Houston, Texas. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
I think the majority of the world's nations have the intelligence greater than that of the American citizens, knowing full well that we are so disorganized, we don't even have a leader that can save us, let alone lead us out of the mess that we're in. I would also add that your earlier comments about Texas being equipped to do something, I think that would be a godsend, quite frankly. The first thing we would do is blow away all the people that are trying to come over the border. We are serious about knocking down and closing this border. The second thing that we might full well do, majority of the population of this nation today is so ignorant that it is questionable whether they are worth dying for. You hear me, Michael?
Oh, you're a man with a jaundiced attitude. I can see you sitting there in Houston stewing in your juices about the hopelessness of this country. It's as though you're saying there is no country and there is no population.
Well, I have a number of acquaintances who fully agree with me, and they, too, are in the dilemma of figuring out, one, who would be the leader, and two, where would the money come from?
Well, the leader of what, a new America?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I would think that that's almost impossible to imagine, Wallace. I do not think, let's put it another way. I think the power of the government is so great in this country, and the police powers are so inordinate in this so-called democracy of ours, that there'd be almost no chance for any kind of even peaceful attempt to put in a true leader of the American people, someone who's not owned by the corporate interests on Wall Street?
It won't ever be peaceful anymore. And there are enough older people, of which I am a member, who would be willing to die and potentially...
Well, but Wallace, you got to understand, this is a radio show. This is not a revolutionary underground. I know it sounds like that sometimes, but there's only so far any of us can go. And you'll have to excuse me for disappearing from this conversation for reasons that I think you can understand, because every time I utter a word, people get very nervous on the Savage Nation listeners, as well as haters of the truth and freedom in the American way. Now, you've got this Georgian government appealing to Washington to intervene and support Georgia. Now, what do they mean by intervene? They want us to stand up for our ideals and our friends. How could George Bush help Georgia in its moment of need? How? We're overcommitted militarily around the globe. Do you want a broader conflict with Russia? Is that what you want? Because that's what you're going to get. Well, there's another option. How about NATO planes sent in to protect Georgian airspace? Fine, then you'll have Russia fighting NATO. That'd be perfect for the military-industrial complex. Just think of all the meals that would have to be provided by one of the contractors at $16 a pop. Think about that, all the rebuilding after they destroy everything. You never know what's coming next. But again, go back to August 1917. You don't have to be an expert. I'm not an expert on it. I've just read enough. Summer of 1917. World War I started with a very minor skirmish. The assassination of Archduke Ferdinand led to one maneuver. Then the one maneuver led to another. You know, watching this over the weekend on television, instead of my normal favorite cooking show on Saturday morning, and normally I like to watch an Italian cooking show, other than the fact that she has a heavy hand when it comes to salt, I like her cooking a lot, Lydia. But every dish, though, you can't salt to death. I don't understand that part of it, but let's put aside that. I had to forego my favorite cooking show, and I'm watching this with astonishment. There I am, drinking my coffee, having my breakfast, and I'm watching it. It's as though I'm watching the Yugoslav thing all over again in slow motion. I remember to this day how the Yugoslavian conflict began, with almost looked like comic shelling of a seaport town. I think it was Dubrovnik. I'm not certain where it was. In the early days of the Yugoslav the conflict in that region, it started with almost looked like comic shelling. Boom, boom, a small gunboat. And you said, what the heck are they doing? Why are they firing small artillery shells onto the shore there? In Yugoslavia, what is this? The next thing we knew, people were being butchered. The next thing we knew, Clinton was repainting NATO American airplanes with NATO markings and sending our aircraft in to bomb Serbia. Why did we do that? Why did we separate? Why did we surgically remove Kosovo from Serbia? Answer, oil, pipeline through Kosovo. Now, Russia, by the way, this is very interesting because at the time, actually recently, although the United States wants Kosovo to be declared an independent nation, and Russia did not want that, Russia, as recently as 2 weeks ago, under Putin, said he would not object to the creation of an autonomous Kosovo if blah, blah, blah was done, meaning if we laid off this absurd love affair with independence for the Ukraine and Georgia. In other words, he wanted a trade-off in realpolitik terms. I'll tell you what, you want that, we want this. But apparently there's people without any balance in the State Department. They know about quid, but no quo. They never heard of the quo part of the quid. It's quid pro quid to them. Take, take, take. Now, as you well know, in business or in personal relationships, it's give and take. It's not take and take. You can't just take and take. It's impossible. I get the feeling when I wake up and see these things that I'm watching King Ludwig II of Bavaria rather than the President of the United States acting here. But then now we have – let's go to Obama and McCain. We got Obama on this situation, and we got McCain. Now, I'm going to listen to both now. Let's start with Obama. Let's hear
it. All concerned companies must stand united, condemning this aggression and seeking a peaceful resolution of the crisis. We should continue to push for a United Nations Security Council resolution calling for an immediate end to the violence. This is a clear violation of the sovereignty and internationally recognized borders of Georgia. The UN must stand up for the sovereignty of its members and for peace in the world.
Or how can you disagree with the man, except the UN is powerless. It's a toothless pussycat. It's not even a toothless tiger. The UN exists only for the aggrandizement of the functionaries who work there, only to see what they can rob and steal and bring in under a diplomatic pouch. There's no other reason for the United Nations. Now let's listen to McCain.
Our united purpose should be to persuade the Russian government to cease its attack, withdraw its troops, and enter into negotiations with Georgia. We must remind Russia's leaders that the benefits they enjoy from being part of the civilized world require their respect for the values, stability,
all right, let's stop right here. This is such sophomoric rubbish. I can't even listen to it. He must have had the same speechwriter that Bush has had all these years. What are you talking about? Here we are in Iraq, 5 years later, 6 years later, and we're in Afghanistan, and he's telling Russia not to be in Georgia. I would say Georgia is closer to Moscow than Baghdad is to Washington. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Wake up. This is what is happening now. It's not about Georgia. It's about the basic values the West has, the basic values the U.S. has always preached us. We are a small country, but, you know, we are attacked because we wanted to be free. We are attacked because we wanted to build genuine democracy. We are attacked because we built a non-corrupt free enterprise society that is prospering and thriving. We are under attack because we never wanted to accept the old corrupt rules of game and wanted to be close to the West and go into the Western fold where we belong, into the European fold.
European fold. Well, it's definitely a problem when people are dying. But as I say, Georgia is closer to Moscow than Baghdad is to Washington. And I think that summarizes my position. Sure, nobody wants to see civilians die. But let's stop lecturing the world on how to behave when we ourselves do not have our own house in order. We have huge problems, both external and internal. And this constant military maneuvering is very worrisome to me. We don't want to see the world go up in flames, do we? Yet we read today, and look at it on michaelsavage.com. I linked it up from Debka, that there are five battle groups, aircraft carrier groups, two or three more being deployed to the Persian Gulf. That's five. I believe that's the largest buildup in many a decade. I don't think we're wasting that fuel just to exercise the ships, nor to frighten the Iranian leadership, which is beyond being frightened, because I think they're so insane that they can't be frightened. I believe that their religious fanaticism is such that they have no fear. That's why they're very dangerous. A man who has no fear is the most dangerous man on the planet. In essence, he's insane. A sane man, no matter how brave, is frightened at realities. An insane man believes that even if he dies, he goes to heaven and he gets rewarded. That's a totally insane man. By definition. Just one other random note, just in one man's opinion, in the category of one man's opinion. I watch television a lot. I admit it. I watch too much television. And perhaps my reality is formed too much by television. But okay, that's my problem. I see how American children are treated. Delicate. Don't yell at them. Don't raise your voice to them. Oh, he fell. Get out the first aid kit. Oh, he scraped himself. Mommy, nurse him till he's 7 or 8 years old. In other words, coddle the child and turn him into a useless, frightened being. Now I take a look over the weekend. I forget it was a Discovery, a National Geographic, of the Shia in Iraq holding a celebration where they flagellate themselves for days on end down to the age of four, cutting themselves with razor blades and screaming and crying because the Prophet Muhammad's grandson died 1,000 years ago, whatever. And the streets run with blood. And you see these people slapping their chests with razor blades in their hands. Young boys, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, crying when the imam tells them to cry. The kids start to cry. You see a huge mass hysteria of Shia in the streets of Iraq. Crying. Crying over a man who died 900 years ago. Crying. And then flagellating themselves to bleed the way he bled in battle. I ask you something. I ask you something. When you see temporary insanity like this, and mass hysteria like this, and children being raised to cut themselves with razor blades, versus our children who are being raised to get a first aid spray at the first sign of a scratch, I ask you, what kind of world are we living in? It seems we're living in an increasingly dichotomous universe, and the two sides are moving apart. And the only question is whether this primitive force on the planet, which is quite populous, will defeat the rational populations on the earth, if you want to call us rational. I'm not quite sure we are. James in New York on WOR, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Mike, you're going to love this, but first of all, the Georgians have been committing ethnic genocide and killing Ossetians for 80 years, ever since the Georgian Stalin took Osseti and put it in Georgia. And the Western media, especially the U.S., refuses to show the pictures of the dead Ossetians. I don't see them at all. I see them on the Internet, on the international media, but I don't see them anywhere else. And okay, and this is the main kicker. Guess who's a good friend of the Saakashvili, the Georgian president, the nutjob?
Well, how is McCain a friend of his?
He's been visiting him a long time, and guess who spoke to him recently?
Who?
Guess who's been asking the Saakashvili to commit, ethnic cleansing of the Ossetians for his purposes?
Who?
John McCain.
Well, are you arguing that John McCain has received money from this country in some way or from businessmen in Georgia?
He wants a favor for Saakashvili so he can get shot, and then he'll get Saakashvili in NATO. He wants a favor for the election to make John McCain look like a tough guy to defeat Obama.
Well, John McCain did come out as Mr. Macho saying Russia must watch its step, which I thought was very foolish. And it's the last thing we need in the White House right now is another a person who shoots from the hip.
Recently met this shot.
I don't think we need a man who suddenly starts to threaten Russia. This is not already. We're not threatening Iraq here or Iran, which are fundamentally powerless to, you know, compared to our power. Now, you're talking about another world power. You're dealing with hydrogen bombs now. You know, not rubber boats with dynamite in them. Thank you for the call. Anyway, look, we are not going to solve this. The conflict is a disaster. It's very dangerous. It's dangerous for international stability. It is dangerous for regional stability. But again, we have seen the amateurish, adolescent reactions of our politicians, with rare exception. It is though we have boys running the show instead of men. Who makes statements like this? Russia should watch out? As I said to you, even if you agree Russia is wrong, and I'm not so sure they are, but let's say you say Russia is wrong. I would have to say that Georgia is closer to Moscow than Baghdad is to Washington. And who in the world are we to lecture them? We have troops in Iraq. We have troops in Afghanistan, rightly or wrongly, thousands of miles away from our territory. And here we are lecturing Russia about something occurring very close to their capital. Put things in perspective, would you please? This is the Savage Nation. There are other stories. I don't think any of the others approach this, but there are some phenomenal stories on michaelsavage.com, including the expected CNN piece on so-called honor killings, the Islamic practice of so-called honor killings without mentioning Islam, a shocking report done by the Matahari of our time, in my opinion, whatever her name is, Amanpour, who was their girl in Havana, if you've read Graham Greene. Christiana Amanpour mentions honor killing in Great Britain and says nothing about Islam and that it's an Islamic practice. That's what we mean by our man in Havana. It's their girl in Washington or Atlanta. And that is why Georgia is on my mind. This is the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage. Warning.
The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Russian actions would represent a dramatic and brutal escalation of the conflict in Georgia. Russia has invaded a sovereign neighboring state and threatens a democratic government elected by its people. Such an action is unacceptable in the 21st century.
Our united purpose should be to persuade the Russian government to cease its attack, draw its troops, and enter into negotiations with Georgia. We must remind Russia's leaders that the benefits they enjoy from being part of the civilized world require their respect for the values, stability, and peace of the world.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work like a slave.
Nation. Here we go again. Here we go again. Here we go again. In search of a free Georgia, Russia seizes Georgia base, opens second front. Russia-Georgia war was waiting to erupt. Oil and prestige fuel the new Cold War. U.S. warns Russia to end Georgia onslaught over fears Moscow will seize crucial oil pipelines. I think you can pretty much conclude that it's all about oil. It's all about oil right now, the fundamental natural resource that the world is fighting over, just as the Native Americans raided each other over salt licks. I guess in the bigger picture now, so-called civilized nations raid each other over oil and oil pipelines. Did you know that the Native Americans who lived in the mountains used to raid the coastal tribes in order to get salt? It's natural resources. I guess most wars are fought over women or natural resources, mainly natural resources. Today, I don't think it's over women. But if you look at history, how many people died over women, my God. You know, one man wants the other guy's wife or something, whatever. The Pentagon said it had finished flying some 2,000 Georgian troops back home from Iraq. Now, this is an interesting subtext. So Georgia had sent troops to Iraq as part of our ally, to be a part of our allied force. And now the Pentagon flies 2,000 Georgian troops back into Georgia on C-17 aircraft. Then the Pentagon says it informed the Russians about the flights before they began in order to avoid any mishaps. But Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin criticizes the flying back of the troops, saying it would hamper efforts to resolve the situation by reinforcing Georgian assets in a conflict zone. He's calling it a conflict zone. Then a spokesmouth for the State Department says, we're not assisting in any conflict. You hear this? Defense Department spokesmouth Brian Whitman says the U.S. flew the Georgian troops out of Iraq as part of a prior agreement that transport would be provided in case of an emergency. There's been about 130 of our trainers over there, including a few dozen civilian contractors. Sounds like the trainers that we had in Cambodia during the Vietnam War. They weren't really there except to teach people how to grow rice, sure. So Bush wants Russia to pull back in Georgia. Well, what do you expect? They're one of our friends and allies, and we need the oil pipeline. And how it ends, I don't really know. No blood for oil, no oil for blood. Don't ask Iraq to pay us back for liberating them. 24 million of the most ingrates, the biggest nation of ingrates on the planet. But I'm puzzled why nobody in our leadership, even in the, I mean, you say, You got 400 congressmen, senators, what? Not one of them has suggested that we get paid back from Iraq. They got a $70 billion surplus. And no one's saying, you owe us money, Johnson. They're all walking around stuffed over. Have you seen the bodies on them? They don't look like they're emaciated. It's not Somalia. They're not living on wax. These guys are knocking off a lamb a night, it looks like to me. They all got pot bellies on them. They never had it so good. I mean, they're rolling in it. They're rolling in fat over there on our back. We're going broke, and they're fat now. Everyone's winning but us. Mexico trade surplus with the U.S. Countries that didn't have a trade surplus before Bush took power are rolling in U.S. dollars. Trade surplus. Now we add to the list Iraq, $70 billion trade $70 billion in cash assets from selling oil. Why aren't they paying us back? Why? I mean, Jay, why? They're not going to offer it. Well, why doesn't someone in the opposition in the United States government, surely with such a huge number of representatives, some representative would say, you know what, Iraq owes us to pay us back for all the money we spent, $1 trillion. So give us $50 billion of the $70 billion, and we want oil, too. We want immediate shipments of oil out of Iraq to reduce the cost of oil. Why don't we hear any of this? It seems like one monolithic government. It's not a government that represents various ideas and various factions. Where is our government today? Is it a single thing, a single entity, rather? Well, these are too many questions. I realize that. If you'd rather I talk about girls' volleyball, I guess we can do that. Or boxing, perhaps, swimming. I don't know anything about any of those topics, but I suppose I can talk about them as well as anybody else in the media who also knows nothing about them. But apparently people can't get enough of it. 15% of the world's population watch the Olympics? Wow, that's good for NBC. But is it good for you when the average person is so stupid that they'd rather look at somebody hitting a ball than watching what's going on in the Caucasus that could trigger World War III? New York City, John, quickly, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. John, go ahead, please. Not there. Just what I love. You hit the button and you get a dead letter call, a dead letter box. Okay, we'll shoot another caller out there. New York City, Alex, you're next up. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. My name is Alex. I'm from New Jersey. Actually, I'm from Republic of Georgia. I'm a U.S. citizen right now. I just want to underline one thing, that if Georgia is close to Moscow, it doesn't mean that Russia is justified to invade the sovereign country. And Georgia,
you're right. You know, you are right on both accounts, but my point was a little different. Russia may be wrong in invading a sovereign country, but we don't have the resources, the capacity, nor really the right to dictate to Russia what it should do. Where? What are we going to do? How are we going to back up our threats with what? More war?
No, I don't mean more war.
What I'm saying, George, Alex, you could be right. But it doesn't make us right to threaten Russia. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
I've tried to warn America about the threat of this maniac in Iran and the mad throwback mullahs over and over again. With their potential to get nuclear weapons getting closer every day, isn't it time we woke up, took notice of what the Iranians are about to do? Ken Timmerman has been on the show many times and joins us today to warn us what is going on now. Ken Timmerman, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on again. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Well, give us an update. What is going on over there?
Well, Michael, I was at a missile defense conference last weekend that was sponsored by the Claremont Institute in California. We were in Dearborn, Michigan, and one of the experts who was there was Dr. William Graham, who was the science advisor under President Ronald Reagan. And since 2001, he's been the chairman of this Blue Ribbon National Security Commission. It's called the Commission to Assess the Threat to the United States from Electromagnetic Pulse. Now, an EMP attack is something that we've known about since 1962. In fact, Dr. Graham was one of the people who actually discovered this.
What is an EMP and what would it do?
It's the enormous discharge set off by a nuclear explosion up in the atmosphere. Now, all during the Cold War, the United States military protected our systems against EMP attacks from the Soviet Union. They figured that if we had a nuclear exchange with the Soviet Union, we would also have this EMP strike, which would cripple all of our electronics. What EMP does is essentially it will melt transistors and silicon-based computer chips. So we spent billions and billions of dollars during the Cold War to harden our systems. Since the end of the Cold War, we haven't done anything. And new weapons going into service no longer have EMP hardening. Here is where it gets very dicey and very interesting. That Dr. Graham revealed this past weekend that the Iranian regime has conducted a series of missile tests recently indicative of development of an EMP weapon. And Dr. Graham and his commission, this Commission on the EMP Threat to the United States, asked the Central Intelligence Agency to translate a number of articles in Iranian military journals where, in fact, they talk about an EMP attack on the United States, and they identify that as being our great vulnerability.
Well, what are we doing about this?
Well, as of right now, Michael, we aren't doing anything. We have Dr. Graham, again, he testified recently in Congress on July 10th. It was a hearing that was asked to be called by Representative Roscoe Bartlett, who's a friend of mine here in Maryland, the state where I reside, and he's been on to this for a number of years, but he's a scientist as well as a member of the House. EMP is not very widely known, electromagnetic pulse. People are not that aware of the threat. There have been a number of liberal websites and liberal scientists who claim that it's not a serious threat, but the Blue Ribbon Commission that Dr. Graham chairs has come to really devastating conclusions. They believe that in the event of an EMP attack, which could be set off by even a crude nuclear weapon detonated in our atmosphere, which the Iranians could do by launching a missile from a freighter sailing off the coasts of America. They don't have to have an ICBM to do this. They can do this from a freighter. An EMP attack on our nation would essentially take us back to the era of the early 1800s. It would destroy our entire civilian infrastructure.
How come we're so unprotected from this kind of attack?
We stopped protecting against the possibility of an EMP attack during the Clinton administration. It was part of the peace dividend, so to speak, with the end of the Cold War. And you know, the Clinton folks realized that there was little likelihood of a nuclear war with the Soviet Union, and they didn't see any other threats on the horizon. And so they said, look, we don't need to spend all this money. Let's take it to the bank as part of the peace dividend. And they did. And since 2001, when George Bush has been president, he has not, to my knowledge, asked for that kind of funding and that kind of protection again. Now, there are things that we can do, and the EMP Commission has pointed this out to Congress. There are things that we can do to harden our telecommunications, our electronics infrastructure, especially the power generation, power transmission infrastructure. There are things that don't necessarily cost all that much money, but Congress has to get involved. It's a question of national infrastructure. There are things that we have to do to protect power transmission, and without that, America will simply go dark in the event of an EMP attack.
Well, what kind of attack are we talking about? How many missiles would it take to cripple our entire infrastructure here in America?
Well, here's the thing, Michael, and this is what's probably most frightening of all, is that the Iranians could essentially bring down the overwhelming majority of our national critical infrastructure, electricity, telecommunications, GPS, our automobiles, the food supplies system, water delivery systems, you name it. They could do that with a single crude nuclear weapon exploded at an altitude of between 40 kilometers and 400 kilometers above the Earth's surface. In other words, you know, up in the atmosphere. And they could do this using a Scud missile placed on a anonymous freighter sailing off the coasts of America, off the east coast or the west coast of America in the commercial shipping lanes.
Oh, my God.
We would never see the missile coming. We would not be able to prevent it at this point because we do not have the missile defenses necessary in place to be able to take down that kind of attack. And within a matter of minutes, that missile would reach apogee over, let's say, Nebraska, and it would reach 1,000 miles in either direction.
Oh, my God.
Virtually from coast to coast, taking down power plants and everything else with them.
With how devastating this attack could be, why are we sitting here and waiting?
Well, first of all, the first most important thing to do in the beginning is to get to awareness, to raise awareness of this threat. And that's what Dr. Graham has been trying to do. He's done it in this congressional testimony on July 10th. He did it by coming to this missile defense conference sponsored by the Claremont Institute just last weekend. And I've tried to do it at Newsmax.com in writing about this. People are not aware of this. They are not aware that the Iranian regime has conducted missile tests that are conducive and that indicate that they have the intention of launching an EMP attack on the United States. They have demonstrated the capability of doing so. The two sets of tests that they conducted were, first of all, they've been launching Scud missiles off of freighters and barges in the Caspian Sea, so that we know that they can do a sea-launched missile. And the second set of tests involves using their Shahab missiles and exploding the warhead up at apogee, way up in the atmosphere, and calling the missile test a success. They've got ranges that are capable of testing the full range of those missiles in Iran itself. But instead, they've conducted tests in the Caspian Sea to show that they can do sea launch, and they've exploded the warhead high up in the atmosphere, which is exactly what you would do in an EMP attack. So the threat itself has not been well known until now, so the very first step is to raise awareness of this threat.
Well, what can we the people do about this, with Pelosi pointing her fingers at the Republicans and the Republicans pointing their finger at Pelosi?
Well, the first thing is to call up your representatives and even the senators in the West Coast state. You are on the coast of the United States. These are vulnerable areas. And wake them up to the EMP threat. There are things that America can do to protect ourselves. Some are very costly. They involve a space-based national missile defense system, which is something that we know how to do, but it's not yet being deployed. And other things which are less costly, which have to do with protecting and hardening our national infrastructure, starting with the power transmission and power generation facilities. But you need to get Congress involved. This is a national issue. It's not a state issue. It is a national issue. It's our national infrastructure that needs to be protected, and it's missile defenses that we need to be able to intercept this kind of attack.
Ken Timmerman, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael, for giving me this opportunity to talk about this threat. I think it's tremendously important, and I appreciate your willingness to get the word out.
Savage.
It is a Savage Nation, and I would say that the callers are 50-50 on this issue. Some of you are saying we should support Georgia. Some of you are saying we should support Russia. But can you name an historic example of where great powers have moved in against another great power to support a small country in a time of crisis? I'm just puzzled as to what you think we should do. Those of you who say Georgia is in the right, I would agree with you. They're in the right. It was once a sovereign nation, 1922, Stalin conquered it, killed thousands, tens of thousands, sent the rest to the gulag, and rolled Georgia into the Soviet Union. And so it disappeared as a sovereign nation. When the Soviet Union collapsed, Georgia reasserted its independence or its sovereignty. I understand that history. I understand the desire for a sovereign nation. I crave a sovereign America, which, of course, we're losing our sovereignty on a daily basis, so I understand it. But what would you like to be done? Would you like a war with Russia? That's the point I'm making. That's the main point I'm trying to make. How do you affect this? What power do we have over Russia right now? It seems to me they have the upper hand. We're spread very thin. We have a currency crisis. Russia's rolling in natural resources, mainly oil and gas. They're on the upswing. We seem to be on the downswing. So what would you suggest the U.S. government do? Take the ships out of the Persian Gulf and sail them to Vladivostok and then threaten Russia? What do you want them to do? What do you want this country? See, that's what I'm getting at. You may be right about Georgia being a sovereign nation and Russia was wrong and that we should have an oil pipeline that's independent of Russia. Okay, all those things are true. Now what? Now what do you do? Joseph in San Francisco, what do you do? Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Well, Michael, you're not right. You have to support Georgia. Georgia, you know the history. I understand that you But you have to understand also that Ossetia in 1990, Russians expelled all the Georgians from there. 40,000 Georgians were expelled from this South Ossetia. Now,
let us say that I agree with you, and you say we should support Georgia. Let's say we intellectually support Georgia. What next can we do?
Well, we cannot go with war with Russia. We can, but we have to at least to bring this to attention to all Europe. And then this is not only Georgia. You have to realize Russia wants to have influence in Ukraine, Latvia, Estonia. Every country wants to be free. This is a peaceful nation, Georgia, and they elected a right president. And this president, not like you say, he came from Bush, George Bush, and he is marionette of America. No, he is the right person there, and he wants to this country be free. And
no, those are all noble desires, but he blundered. He made a terrible and strategic blunder by launching his troops against this small region, thinking that he would somehow scare Russia out. You have to admit it was an idiotic move.
This was true, yeah. Maybe, but it was provoked by Russia, and you have to understand.
Well, wait. Okay, I understand provocation. But why did the U.S. encourage the president of Georgia to make a military move against Russia at this time? Do you think that was wise? I don't think it was wise.
No.
Even if I agree with you that Georgia deserves its independence because it's a hope of democracy and the ex-satellites of the Soviet Union, don't you think it would have been wiser to do this diplomatically rather than militarily?
Yes, it's true, but your previous caller says that John McCain provoked this. This is wrong, and this is actually how he knew this. Then this it's unbelievable to me that people can say like this. And who will push this small country like Georgia with 4 million people against Russia, 150 million, and with Russian power? How can this happen? And by now, we don't care actually when it starts, but right now we could not see that this peaceful country was bombarded by Russian bombs, and actually they tried to kill Saakashvili in Tbilisi. You have to see these pictures on CNN. Even CNN shows this. This is ridiculous to me.
I hear you. Again, we may agree on every point except one, which is that the president of Georgia, I think he made a strategic blunder at the wrong time, and he should have pursued this diplomatically. That's the only difference we may have here. But I thank you for calling and listening so closely to the show. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. Kentucky, Dan, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage, what I would do or advise the president to do is to look Putin in the eye and say, at this moment, we are going to reprogram our missiles that we stood down years ago during the Clinton years, and we're going to restart a Berlin airlift-type operation with humanitarian aid into Tbilisi. And tell them
that's insanity, total insanity. You think we need to risk another nuclear exchange with Russia?
Dr. Savage, I am a 25-year veteran of the Air Force, twice to Iraq, one time to Persian Gulf War in 91, four-year veteran of the Cold War. I worked the Berlin Wall staring down the Russians in the 80s. You must
But my friend, haven't we learned from those days of the Cold War that we don't want it again? When I as a young kid had to jump underneath desks in a schoolroom for fear that that New York City would be annihilated by a nuclear missile, a nuclear bomb.
Yes,
I don't think we need to go back to the Cold War. It's crazy to start using military power and threatening the use of military at every provocation. In fact, it's the military provocation of Georgia against Russia that triggered this, and it's exactly what I'm warning against. That's how World War I began. A relatively small conflict emerged into World War I, and that's exactly what I think we should avoid, Dan.
I think no matter what Georgia did, the Russians would have went into that province no matter what in time. They want
Well, you're saying in time, but they've shown great constraint until now. They haven't. They did not plunge in, by the way. As a matter of fact, this has been simmering for a long time. And the only reason it's evolved into an actual shooting war is because of Saakashvili's bold moves.
According to the Russians. The Russians.
Well, wait a minute. According to the Russians. When did the Russians invade Georgia militarily?
Right after the Georgian president moved his forces in to retake that province, which was a part of Georgia.
Wait. You're not following me. The fact of the matter is, Russia has been retaliating against Georgia in many ways, but not militarily. For example, it cut off air service and mail between the two countries. It closed the border. It refused Georgian exports. So, yes, Russia has been consolidating its hold over Georgia, but not militarily. It was a contest of wills between Georgia and Russia, and it was the strong support of the United States for Saakashvili that gave him, frankly, the audacity to dare a military incursion against Russia, thinking that we would back him up.
It's the same philosophy they did in Iraq, where they told these guys, hey, rise up against Saddam, we will help you. They did, they didn't, and they got slaughtered back in the 90s. The same thing we constantly tell these people, move towards freedom, we'll be there.
But we also militarized the weak Georgian state. We sent in military trainers. We re-equipped the Georgian military forces with U.S. firearms. Israel sent reconnaissance drones, communications and battlefield management equipment. New convoys of vehicles and stockpiles of ammunition were sent to Georgia. This to me, was all provocative in terms of the Russians looking at them. In other words, let's not look at it only from our point of view. It takes two people to start a war. And when one side pushes the other, there's going to be eventually a punch in the nose. But when you have a little guy fighting with a huge guy and the little guy then punches the big guy in the nose, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, you have to stand back up like I did in third grade and punch the guy back in the nose again, because Russia has a long...
I know, but this guy is Russia, a superpower. Russia has 1.1 million soldiers. Russia has 6,000 tanks, 1,700 combat aircraft. I don't think we need to go to war with Russia now over Georgia. In fact, I know we should not.
What you do, though, is you stand up to them and you say, we're drawing the line here. We are going to bring humanitarian aid in here. You are not going to go and walk back up the eastern line again and take country after country after country again by intimidation. They may not want to take over all of Europe, but they have gas lines. They've done it economically. They've taken over Europe. Europe is so dependent upon them now for energy that they cannot stand up to them.
That's correct. So Russia has emerged as the superpower in that region of the world. And here we are on the other side of the world telling a superpower that has all the gas and oil it needs. In fact, so much that it can export it. And we're going to dictate to them what they ought to do.
We're not dictating what they ought to do, but we have to stand up for principle, something this country hasn't done for years.
Does that mean we should stand up for principle with China as well, where they have, God knows, a million people in the prison camps and slave labor in China, and George Bush is over there enjoying the Olympics. NBC is running Olympics and not reporting on the slave labor in China, not reporting on the fact that it's a communist dictatorship with a mixed capitalist communist economy. We don't see any of that when we see the girls playing volleyball or the boys jumping in the swimming pools. How come there's no report from the great NBC newsmen and women about the fact that they're in a communist dictatorship? When have we last stood up to a dictatorship?
Because they're all concerned about their 401ks. They don't want the stock market to get roiled. They don't want this to happen. No one wants to sacrifice like my grandparents did and their parents did to stand up for what is right. That's why we have all these kids running around with their pants down below their butts, because no one will just stand up and say, hey, that's wrong. You look like an idiot.
Okay, I hear you, but I disagree with you. We may side with Democratic Georgia. We may want the sovereignty for the people, but it would be insanity to provoke Russia at this time, militarily, economically, on an energy level, on a strategic level. It could be no worse time for us to get involved in a conflict with Russia than now. It couldn't be worse. In fact, it's a nightmare. The whole thing is a nightmare to me. The entire thing is a nightmare, and it was triggered by adolescent fools inside the State Department who are way over their heads. You know, Condoleezza Rice knew nothing about China, knew nothing about the Islamic world when she was picked by George Bush to be Secretary of State, but she considered herself to be a Russia expert. She speaks Russian fluently, by the way. It is Condoleezza Rice who is responsible for this nightmare. That's my opinion. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back. Savage. Savage Nation are talking about the tragedy that is going on, and it's a terrible tragedy when civilians are being killed for a power game that's going on between superpowers and even regional powers. And it's very hard to be solemn and ask in a situation such as this. But remember this. This country of Georgia, which most of us know nothing about, myself included, is found between Turkey and Russia. It was ruled by Moscow for almost 200 years preceding the 1991 breakup of the Soviet Union. I think you need to remember that. And remember that Putin is the former head of the KGB. He did not originate three years ago, as in the American political arena. So the former head of the KGB when it was the Soviet Union, he remembers when Moscow ruled the area. That's just to give you a little background. I'm not agreeing with it at all, but I'm just giving you a little background of where he's coming from. Now, both provinces of Abkhazia and South Ossetia have run their own affairs without any international recognition since fighting to split from Georgia in the early 1990s, and both of them have very close ties with Moscow. When did this emerge? When did this warfare emerge, this current round of war? It began Thursday, late Thursday, when the foolish president of Georgia, under the advice of Condoleezza Rice, began a shelling, an artillery offensive. Georgia now began an artillery offensive to take control over South Ossetia late Thursday. And then airstrikes back and forth. What did Russia do? Russia was responsive. They sent in thousands of troops. They shelled the Georgians until they fled on Sunday, and 4 days of bombing raids across Georgia. Then we read that Georgia pledged a ceasefire. An AP reporter yet reports that a small group of Georgian fighters opened fire after the ceasefire was pledged by its own country. So the Georgian fighters opened fire on a column of Russian and Ossetian military vehicles outside a town I can hardly pronounce, and it triggers a 30-minute battle. The Russians later said all the Georgians were killed. Again, they are somebody's brothers, sons, uncles, the human beings dead. This is war now. Another AP reporter sends a report in another village, 7.5 miles south of another village inside Georgia. A bomb from a Russian warplane strikes a house. The walls of neighboring buildings fall as screaming residents run for cover. 18 people are wounded. Tragedy, yes. Will the pilot be held up for war crimes? Will there be screaming in Russia that the pilot be tried by The Hague? Will the president of Russia or the prime minister of Russia bring the pilot in for a court-martial, as George Bush would do? No. No. Hundreds of Georgian troops head north Monday along the road toward another city, pocked with tank regiments creeping up the highway into South Ossetia. Hundreds of other soldiers traveling via trucks in the opposite direction, towing light artillery weapons. Bush and other Western leaders, of course, criticize Russia's military response as disproportionate. Disproportionate. Notice they did not say it was wrong. They said it was disproportionate. Aha. Now you understand the subtext. Then they say that Russian warplanes have bombed Georgian oil sites and factories far from the conflict zone. Now, why would Russia want to bomb Georgian oil sites and factories far from the conflict zone? Now, of course, the world's seven largest economic powers urge Russia to accept an immediate ceasefire and to agree to international mediation. That would be wonderful. I hope Russia does that yesterday. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice Aroney, the biggest bungler in American Secretary of State. I mean, she's a bigger bungler than Madeleine Halfbright. I don't understand our State Department. I don't even know why it exists. It seems to be a government within a government that stands in opposition to the national interests of the United States of America since 1950. The State Department is a government within our government that is at odds with the national sovereignty of the United States of America at every turn. Bush says, I've expressed my grave concern about the disproportionate response of Russia and that we strongly condemn the bombing outside of South Ossetia. Did you catch that? Listen to what Bush actually said. We strongly condemn the bombing outside of South Ossetia. Now, what did Vladimir Putin say? Vladimir Putin criticizes the United States for viewing Georgia as the victim instead of the aggressor. And Putin criticizes us, our country, our government, for airlifting Georgian troops, 2,000 of them, back home from Iraq on Sunday. Then he says, Putin on Moscow, listen to this now. He says, of course Saddam Hussein ought to have been hanged for destroying several Shiite villages. And the incumbent Georgian leaders who raised 10 Ossetian villages at once, who ran elderly people and children with tanks, who burned civilians alive in their sheds, these leaders must be taken under protection. See, he's a leader who can speak with sarcasm, irony, something that I'm afraid our leader doesn't even understand. Somehow it never got to Texas or Maine. No irony practiced here, only mispronunciation of words and the mangling of syntax. You hear what Putin said? Of course Saddam Hussein should have been hanged for destroying several Shiite villages. He's being sarcastic. And he says, and the incumbent Georgian leaders who raised 10 villages, these leaders must be taken under protection. Don't you understand what he's saying here? He's trying to be ironic or sarcastic. Again, lost on the American media, lost on the American president, lost on the American Secretary of Hate. Where this ends, I hope, is an immediate ceasefire. I hope so. Sure, Georgia signs a ceasefire Monday, proposed by the French and Finnish foreign ministers. I hope they will, and I hope they both ascribe to it. I don't think it's going to happen. In fact, I don't think the president of Georgia is going to survive this. We hope he does. But I think the man overplayed his hand. I think he was rash, frankly insane. And I think it was Condoleezza Rice who advised him. Why she would do this is anybody's guess. But then again, we're still in Iraq 6 years later, aren't we? This is the Savage Nation. Read MichaelSavage.com now and tonight. We'll keep updating all night long. Let's pray to God this is over soon.
Savage.